Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
It's Let's Talk Sports on Urban Media Today Radio. Trevin A. Jones here with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, and Alan Lincoln. Ray, you're going to kick us off with the Steelers.
The Steelers have a 5-3 record, and they're also 3-0 in the division. If the season ended today, they would actually have home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs.
And that's interesting because the Steelers have a lot of stories going on around their run on the field between the sidelines, correct?
Absolutely. They certainly do. And I see one of the keys for them to possibly have a shot at the Super Bowl was to watch all the distractions.
Are they really distractions? I mean, Martavius, he wants to be let go because he's not getting enough. I think he's not getting enough shine is what it is. I think pride is the culprit there.
Pride is a big part of that. This young kid, Juju Smith, stepping on the scene, taking his shine. You come off your off the suspension. You know, you want to come out and get your game going, and you got this young cat who's just taking over.
Well, I mean, you were just suspended. And suspended for something that you had control over.
I agree with that.
You can't come back and whine about not getting your shine on because you're not getting receptions. You weren't there.
Look, don't be surprised if Juju Smith turns out to be the next great receiver for the Steelers. I'm not a Steeler fan. I'll admit that.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I see, whether intended or not, it seems to me that this kid has a bright future. He's going to be that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, don't be surprised if in a few years Antonio Brown is past his prime, don't want to pay him anymore,
mm-hmm.
and Juju Smith is that dude.
Right now, the Steelers are really doing their thing. I mean, they've done like a complete 360 from the start of the season, haven't they?
I think it's considering going back to basics, back to Steelers basics, emphasizing the power running game first, emphasizing defense first, mm-hmm. not worrying about flash and trying to score 30 points a game, but putting the W above the style.
So what's their schedule look like coming up?
This Sunday night, they face a decent passing team in the 3-3 Detroit Lions. Sunday night.
So we'll talk more about that later on. Man, the Kansas City Chiefs, they started out 5-0, lost to the Steelers,
right.
And then lost again.
Just like the old Tony Braxton song, just another sad love song. We've seen this story with the Chiefs so many times before. I mean, we've seen them start 5-2. We've seen them go 13-3, but just would fall short. So nobody's fazed by that. But then even look at how they finished last year. They were pretty decent during the regular season. The Pittsburgh shut them out without even scoring a touchdown in the playoffs.
What are you guys thinking about New England right now?
They seem unstoppable. I mean, I think they're the gold standard. I mean,
they are.
They're just kind of cementing themselves. You know, Tom Brady's is the ageless wonder.
Right.
You know, there were questions about, you know, whether he truly could maintain that elite status in the NFL, and he clearly has. I mean, he's still that dude.
So he's the GOAT.
He is.
I'm still not convinced.
I mean, before him, it was Montana. Montana mm-hmm. was unstoppable just like that during his time.
Mm-hmm.
But Brady is.
So let's go from one extreme to the other. Cleveland Browns. Will they get a win?
You're going to do this to me. I mean, a hometown team. I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, mm-hmm. And I try not to be a homer, but you had to expect, you know, an 0-7 start. I mean, you're starting a rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with a steep learning curve for quarterbacks, especially rookie quarterbacks, I'm not surprised that the kid struggles. What I thought was telling for the Browns was the receivers not helping out their quarterback.
What receivers?
Exactly.
Exactly. Terrell, you let Terrell go. How do you let Terrell leave Cleveland and end up in Washington? Because you didn't want to pay him? And I'm talking about Terrell Pryor, who was a 1,000-yard receiver last year. Was his first year at the wide receiver position?
Yeah. I think there's a deeper story there. I don't think it necessarily came down to money. If it did, how much was he asking for? As good of a season as he had,
mm-hmm.
How much are you willing to pay that guy?
But Vince, he became a 1,000-yard receiver. Now, this was a guy, those of you who are from the Pittsburgh area.
He was all world.
Yes, as a quarterback.
As everything.
And playing basketball, right. Football. And he goes to Ohio State, a quarterback, okay? Comes into the league as a quarterback. This brother had the tenacity to leave the game for a minute, work on his craft, and come back at another position. after he ended up in Oakland.
Right.
I mean, I think he was Al Davis's last draft pick in the supplemental draft, coming out of Ohio State, because he got the raw deal at Ohio State, signing autographs and selling it on jerseys and that type of thing. Comes to the Cleveland Browns, who don't really have a quarterback, receiving for 1,000 yards, and you let him go?
It was a mistake.
Okay.
I mean, considering what you got in return, like, I think that they probably should have signed him, you know, for the same contract you're going to give Kenny Britt. It was the same type of money.
Right.
For a guy who wanted to be there.
Got you.
But, I mean, hindsight is 2020.
2020? Brother, you had glasses on because you just dealt with Josh Gordon, who gets suspended from the league. And then you get Terrell Pryor, who comes in almost like a savior, and you let him go? That, man, you already had the corrective lenses on.
That's that Harvard education.
Go ahead, man.
Let me be honest with you. I was really hoping that when Pryor was a free agent in the offseason, that Pittsburgh would take a look at him. But one of the reasons why I believe they didn't, obviously, because they had other plans. And also, and I know, Vince, you had said that you don't think it came down to the money. But I'm just thinking of the hype of free agency, when you know that you have that chance to cash it in, especially coming off of a 1,000-yard season. And if there's any team that will either pay you or overpay you in this league, it is the Washington Redskins. They overpay everybody. Isn't that right, Josh Norman?
But Pittsburgh's not that team that usually goes out and spends big money on a free agent.
Which is true.
I mean, despite the season he had, he was still a project. I mean,
did he have a chance to go home and play for Pittsburgh, you think?
I don't think so.
So Washington. So what you guys are saying is it was the money for Terrell Pryor.
It probably was.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't mad at him.
I mean, he cashed it in, man.
Yeah, I'm not mad at him. He's got 1,000 yards. Are you kidding me?
Players say all the time they bet on themselves.
Okay.
And I think that was part of it. I think pride came into it where he decided, you know what, I'm going to bet on Terrell.
Right.
I'm going to go take this 1-year deal, and I'm going to prove to everybody that I have what it takes to see it at this level.
Right.
I'm going to show them that I'm an elite receiver.
Right.
And I'll get my money after that.
Yeah. All right. And I know I took you off track, Ray, but for all of you Cleveland Browns fans, as you can tell, I wholeheartedly feel your pain. 0-7 at this point in the season. What else you got, Ray?
Well, we had mentioned that they're playing the Detroit Lions. And apparently, I think of the old Detroit Lions, where they had Calvin Johnson as the receiver. Now, the last time the Steelers played them, he ate them up, although the Steelers won the game. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they don't have Johnson. They may not have Golden Tate either. They said that he hurt his arm against the New Orleans Saints, and it was seen in a sling this week.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, I know you cover the Steelers. Mm-hmm. They're leading the AFC right now. Well, gentlemen, who's leading the NFC right now?
Hard to believe.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
6-1.
Carson Wentz is a beast right now.
That hurts because, you know, the Browns could have had him.
Again, don't get me started on the Browns again. All right, so what's your take on the Eagles?
Them adding LeGarrette Blount really helped as well.
Okay.
Adding a power running game and took the pressure off of Carson, at least in his second season. He seems more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, watching a game against Washington, I'm a believer.
Oh, yeah, he ate them up. Was it 4 touchdowns he threw for in the game?
And then he ran for 60 yards, yeah, 4 touchdowns. And then he had that one where he was in a pile, and he popped out of it and ran for, like, about 20 yards.
Looking like He-Man.
Even my wife was shocked. We were talking about something. We both looked at the screen like, wow. She was like, who is that guy? And she claims she don't watch football. But I am a believer in this team, at least as far as the NFC is concerned. He's looking like Carson is looking like a potential MVP candidate, NFL MVP candidate, and they look for real. And the defense went after the Redskins quarterback, Kirk Cousins. I mean, he did well, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the defense went after him.
Right.
Now, their problem is they lost Jason Peter.
Okay.
That was horrible. When he crumpled to the ground, you could tell he was done.
And that's Carson Wentz's protection.
Right.
For those of you who don't know, I'm quite sure everybody knows, but the left tackle is the highest paid position on the offensive line.
That's for sure.
Because he protects the quarterback's blind side. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little college football, gentlemen. What you got on the University of Pitt Panthers, who had a running back that did quite well this past weekend, if I'm not mistaken?
I have to be honest with you. I never believed that Darren Hall could do what he did, but he proved me wrong. He rushed for 254 yards, 3 touchdowns,
okay,
which included a team record. No one's done this before, not even Tony Dorsett. He ran a 92-yard touchdown.
Dorsett never ran a 92-yard touchdown?
Or James Conner. And then he also ran one back for 70 yards as well, and he... And it just goes to show how well the offensive line just got together and played. They opened up those holes for them. And as I said early in the season, I said it. Hall couldn't find the end zone. I said he couldn't find it unless he had a GPS.
I think he heard you.
Yeah. He got mad at me.
Because he found it again and again and again.
And then we were talking previously just about how they were trying to use Jordan Whitehead more than they probably should have. Mm-hmm. He's a safety. Mm-hmm. I mean, you put him in for gimmick plays, but he shouldn't be leading your team in rushing like he did against Syracuse. So I'm thinking that that will open up the door for him to take the bull by the horns to see how he does against Virginia.
All right, so they have Virginia. So, Vince, what you got? Matter of fact, Vince, are you looking at Alabama, Penn State?
Yeah, those are the two main teams. Man, that's number one.
Got that right.
They're not playing any games. They play they dismantled Tennessee 45-7.
Right.
Again, with no signs of slowing down. It's just a juggernaut. Like, Nick Saban is getting he's getting his $11 million.
Right, right. And they got LSU coming up next.
LSU coming, but I'm not sure. I think it's going to be a bump in the road. Alabama's a machine.
So the Tide are rolling.
They are rolling.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
And what about Penn State, though? Penn State crushed Michigan.
Yeah, and that's sort of a shocker. I thought Michigan would put up a bigger fight.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in Happy Valley, yeah, that's what happens. Play in front of 109,000.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a tougher test going in the horseshoe, mm-hmm. playing in Columbus. I'm kind of torn because Ohio State is that team I grew up rooting for, but I would not be surprised if Penn State comes out the victor.
And plus, I mean, Ohio State, when you're looking at them, they had the quarterback that is Mr. Everything for them, and Ohio State and Penn State have this rivalry thing going on where it's like, okay, it seems like they just rise to the occasion.
And this, I mean, it's definitely, you know, who wants it more this weekend? I mean,
right.
You have Penn State who won but didn't go to the playoffs.
Okay.
I'm sure they thought they were worthy of it. And you have Ohio State who lost. And so I think they want to prove that it was what it was.
Right.
But we are the better team.
Right.
You're not going to come into our house and get a victory.
Yeah, because so, JT Barrett and crew, they were the reason that Penn State didn't get the nod to go to the playoffs last year.
Right. And I think it'll be different this year. Really, as much as I want to go with Ohio State at home, mm-hmm. I feel like Penn State is right now they're on another level. They look determined. They find ways to win even, you know, when things aren't going right in the first half. They make adjustments. A big play here, there, and they're right back in the game. So they've been battle tested this year already,
mm-hmm.
and you know, to already have beaten Michigan. They're a special team. I am not a Penn State guy, but I think they're a special team right now.
Man, not only did they beat Michigan, they beat Michigan 42-13. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
and having to go up against a Heisman Trophy candidate,
mm-hmm.
Saquon Barkley.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that cat can do it all.
Is Saquon the best running back in college football
I think
right
he
now?
He is.
Yes, sir.
And I don't be surprised if he's the number one running back taken in the draft. If he's eligible, he's the number one running back coming out. I mean, he has the size.
Mm-hmm.
He has the. I mean, have you seen the moves this cat?
Yeah.
This if you cat blink, is, you miss him.
You know what I mean? the moves he's making, I'm expecting an ACL tear. I'm not trying to, you know, wish anything bad on the brother.
Right, but, right, right.
You know, I mean, the juke moves that he has, just, you know, spin moves. He's doing it all.
So Saquon Barkley against JT Barrett, the quarterback for Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Saquon, the running back for Penn State. Man, who you guys got in this one? Vince, you said you're going with Penn State still? Because of Saquon?
You know what? Saquon, that defense.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State, to me, obviously they're a talented team. And playing at home, you would think they would have the edge. But, like I said, I think this is a special year for Penn State. Mm-hmm. And it pains me to say that as a Pitt guy. and going against my hometown Ohio State Buckeyes. But, I think they're going down to Columbus and they're coming out with the W. They're gonna put a lot of Ohio State fans to shame.
Okay. So Ray, who are you following in college football? Is it one particular team aside from Pitt?
Aside from Pitt, yeah, I have several. I mean, I've always respected the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Okay.
I like the fact that Nick Saban wins.
Okay.
And yeah, he makes that $11 million for a reason. They know how to recruit. They can pack a stadium down there in Tuscaloosa like it's an NFL stadium, and they get it done. But I also give credit to Penn State as well. I'm one of those Pitt fans that can give respect to Penn State and give respect to West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And after watching Penn State upset Ohio State 24-21 last year, this year, they're going into the horseshoe looking to win that game, period.
And speaking of college football, I'm going to change gears on you guys for just a second. Earlier this week, the class of 2018 Black College Football Hall of Fame was announced. Harold Carmichael from the Philadelphia Eagles, he played at Southern University, so he's going to be part of the class of 2018. Speaking of Oakland Raiders, you got Raymond Chester, who went to Morgan State. He's part of that class. Leo Lincoln, Locomotive Lewis, went to Lincoln University. Greg Lloyd from the Steelers, he went to Fort Valley State. He's part of the class of 2018, as well as Everson Walls, famous Dallas Cowboy. Congratulations to him as well. He went to Grambling State. And Coach Bill Hayes at Winston-Salem State, North Carolina A&T, is also part of the class of 2018. And I left this guy for last, another Dallas Cowboy. That means two of them. Thomas Hollywood Henderson went to Langston University. So he's part of the class of 2018 as well. And what's interesting, fellas, is that Langston University is number 8 on our Urban Media Today Black College Football poll. Right now, the Lions are undefeated. And they're the only HBCU in the state of Oklahoma. So we got to give a shout out to Langston University in Oklahoma. I like that name too, Langston. It makes me think of Langston Hughes. So that's what's up for Black College Football. And you can check out our poll and our report each week right here at Urban Media Today Radio. Right now at the top of our poll, the Grambling State Tigers. So let's move on to there's something special happening on the diamond this week. The World Series got underway. The Houston Astros and Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, I know the Dodgers won game one, Ray. And do you think that that will propel them to win the series? Or do you think the Astros are going to have a lot to say about that?
I think the Astros will get one game in. You know, sometimes you have teams that just have that look, and the Dodgers had that look all year.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I thought it was a farce because a lot of times you'll see a lot of teams win a lot of games in a regular season and fade in the postseason. But last year, that was their time. They faded to the eventual champion, Chicago Cubs. This year, they're balanced. I mean, they got thumpers on that team. They have balance. And in addition to the best pitcher pretty much these past few years in Clayton Kershaw, you put him on the mound, it's pretty much over. So,
wow. What about you, Vince?
I don't know. I don't know about 4-1. I think to me, these World Series come down to one shot. One home run. That's what the playoffs in the World Series ends up being about. Is that guy getting that big hit, and your pitchers going deep? And to me, these games they always seem to be close. You know, who's going to be that star that steps out and smash the big home run? To me, this series is going to come down to is who has the better pitching and which player steps up. And will it be Altuve coming up with a clutch hit, to seal it, or Yasiel Puig smacking a big home run? That to me is what this World Series will end up being about.
When you have Yasiel Puig doing his thing, you have Curtis Granderson, and then you have Corey Seager, as well as you have Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger was doing his thing for the Dodgers as well. And then you had Justin Turner, and Justin Turner, he started off game one with the home run. So, I mean, the red-haired bearded one. I mean, when you're looking at things like that, and then I really like Kenley Jansen as a closer. I don't know how he's going to do for the rest of the series. It's going to be interesting, and I just think the Dodgers, it's their time. Both teams won 100 games, 100 regular season games, which is interesting. I think it's the first time in a long time that two 100-win teams faced off. I think the Dodgers are going to get it, but I really think it's going to be like a 4-2 type of thing. And I think Hollywood's going to celebrate. Give Irvin Magic Johnson a win before he starts off his season with the NBA and the Lakers, looking for Lonzo Ball to be the savior, so to speak. Speaking of NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo, I mean, the Greek Freak. I don't know how I feel about that nickname, but
he is a freak. I mean, what, 6'11"? I think he's coming into his own. He said on Twitter, I'm going to try to do what at KAJ33 would do, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, get buckets. And that's what he's going out doing, almost 37 points a game. I think he's going to solidify himself as a superstar in this league. I don't know when he's going to supplant Curry, LeBron, Durant, Westbrook as the elite player in the league. But If he hasn't, you know, he's moving very close to it. He can do everything. And at 6'11", he's just a matchup nightmare.
Mm, I totally agree. I mean, I think he was he scored at least 30 points in every game so far this season for the Bucks. So that's interesting. That's grabbing everybody's attention. Then you got Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons joined Oscar Robertson earlier this week and Hambone Williams. They were the only players to record a triple-double within their first four career games. Ben Simmons, can you believe it?
Right, averaging 17 points, almost 11 boards, 7 assists a game. Yeah, he's showing to be phenomenal. But can he keep it up? Again, you know, on that Philly team,
mm-hmm.
You know, who else, who's going to feed, you know, the point guard?
Markelle Fultz.
Markelle Fultz, I mean, he's going to be out a few games with the shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like Joel Embiid is still on a minutes restriction. Really, when is this team going to be healthy so all their players are going to be out on the floor and we can really see what this team is capable of?
Yeah, but Embiid's looking good in the few minutes that he's on the floor.
He is. He's looking phenomenal.
I mean, that's just – and it's the Sixers again. I'm like, Philly, oh, my goodness. What about Cleveland, man? I mean, earlier this week, LeBron James played point guard.
Yeah, I know. They got a new starting point guard. Double-double with 34 points, 13 assists. Only had 2 rebounds. So that's – I know they got the win. I know the spotlight was sort of on him running the point. But the truth is, he's always running the point.
Gotcha.
He's the leader of that team. He always has the ball in his hands. I thought it was telling if you watch the game. He had some phenomenal passes and really looking for his teammates in a different style of offense, just a little bit different than how they ran before. Before they had a lot of isolation. You know, you have Tristan Thompson come up or Kevin Love come up and set the screen, so LeBron can roll off that. But now, like, he's just kind of pushing the ball more of a wide open type of game, and I think that to me serves the Cavs very well. I mean, you're not bogging the game down by pounding it, and then LeBron makes a move by grabbing, you know, getting boards, pushing the ball, pushing the tempo. I think the Cavs in that type of style are a much better team.
Wow. So with that being said, gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and move on to our picks. And then after our picks, we're going to have big words from the big man, Alan Lincoln. Let's go ahead and do our picks right now. We got 3 games that we're going to look at. First and foremost, congratulations to the big guy, Alan Lincoln. 3-0 last weekend. Ray and Vince, both of you just drank the Kool-Aid when it came to ATL. And both of you lost that game. But Alan picked all 3 correct with the Steelers beating the Bengals and the Patriots beating the Falcons. And the Eagles beating the Redskins. And Alan was actually close in the game with the pick with the Steelers over the Bengals. His prediction was 24-17. And the Steelers actually won 29-14, which is real close. So this week, looking at the Cowboys and the Redskins, the Steelers and the Lions, and the Broncos and the Chiefs. We'll start off with the Cowboys and the Redskins. Ray?
Well, for me, I think it's funny that just like the Eagles versus Skins, that old-fashioned AFC East or NFC East matchup, this year, it could be a nice high-scoring affair, but I'm going to give this over to the Cowboys. I believe they still have more weapons. They're more experienced. I mean, they still have Ezekiel Elliott. They still have Dez Bryant, and, of course, they have Dak Prescott. So I'm going to give them the nod over the Redskins, 33-24.
All right. Vince, what you got?
I'm going to go Cowboys over the Redskins, 24-13. I think Dallas has too much. Until Ezekiel Elliott gets suspended, I think Dallas has more talent. So I think they went out.
Ah, and the big guy, Alan Lincoln, what you got?
I have the Cowboys 28, the Skins 17, and it's all about run, run, run. And Elliott will dominate this game.
And for me, 2 letters, D and E, Dak and Elliott. I mean, so this is the Cowboys all the way. And like Alan said last week, you don't know what you get when you get with the Redskins. So I'm going to say the Cowboys 33, Redskins 17. Ray, back to you. Steelers and the Lions, Sunday night.
Yes, sir. Steelers returning to the scene of the crime when they won their 5th Super Bowl. They're going to face a Lions team, as I mentioned before, that's lacking a few players. And I believe that they will prevail 28-17.
All right, Vince, what you got?
Steelers over the Lions. I don't think the Lions have enough. Who's going to stop AB? Steelers over the Lions. I'll go 28-17.
All right. And Alan?
The Pittsburgh Steelers. 21-17, and it's all about the run once again with Mr. Bell. Run, run, run. Ben, don't throw the ball. Run the ball.
And I will go with the Steelers as well. Even though the Steelers, I mean, Ben holds the ball too long for my taste. But when you have Le'Veon Bell in the backfield, I mean, got to go with LB. So I'm going to pick the Steelers over the Lions 24-17. All right, Ray, so it's back to you. Broncos and Chiefs, Monday Night Football.
See, this will be my black and blue game. Old AFC West matchup. You got the upstart KC Chiefs, and you got the I guess you could say somewhat disappointing Broncos. Honestly, they haven't done anything to replace Peyton Manning when he retired. So, with that being said, I give the KC Chiefs the win, but it's going to be 14-10 because both offenses are struggling right now. But KC will do enough. Alex Smith and Kareem Hunt will do enough to pull off this game.
I agree. I think both offenses are struggling right now. I think Cam, I'm going to give KC the nod with a better defense. So I'm going to say it's going to be a low-scoring game, 17-13 KC.
So I like KC also. Kansas City will be able to score against the Broncos, and I go 24-14 Kansas City, and it's all about the run in this game also.
I'm going with Kansas City because Alex Smith has too many weapons at his disposal. And when you have Kareem Hunt in the backfield, I mean, give me a break. Not to mention the wide receivers and then the defense. Did you see the way the defense is playing for Kansas City? Yes, they lost two games, but they still have that defense that's the foundation for that 5-0 start. So I got to go with Kansas City. And in this one, I'm going to go big. I'm going to say Kansas City 28. Denver Broncos 7. Now, big words from the big guy, Alan Lincoln, in his commentary.
I want to talk a little bit about the experience of HBCU college campuses. That was the big thought that I've been having over the last several weeks. So I went out and started to do some research. I want to talk to you a little bit about how black college has really been a foundation for America. From Spelman College to Howard to Hampton to Morehouse. These are the colleges that have set the tone for America for many, many years. We had the pleasure to go down to Hampton University for their homecoming and watch Hampton play Florida A&M. But it wasn't the game. It was the fans. It was the bands. It was the atmosphere that made this special. I looked in around to try to figure out who the best bands were. And so there was a poll out. And these are the top five bands, and then I'll tell you my top five bands. The top five bands in the poll was Bethune-Cookman, Southern, North Carolina A&T, Jackson State, and Prairie View. Well, last week we got to see Hampton. Several weeks ago we got to see Howard's band, and I both like both of them very much. But my all-time HBCU bands are Florida A&M, South Carolina State, North Carolina A&T, and Grambling, as I remember Grambling as a child, watching them on TV and the bands performing in the fun. I love the great atmosphere. And if you're ever near an HBCU football game, go. But do not leave until after halftime. It's a wonderful atmosphere. In today's world, we must celebrate our history and where we can go as a country. We believe in a diverse world filled with people who can see beyond their own neighborhoods and want more for themselves and families, and we strongly endorse the HBCU experience. See you at a game soon.
All right, so that's big words from the big guy. Let's go to some final thoughts, and I'll go ahead and start this one off, gentlemen. Black college football. Alan talked about the black college experience. I'm going to talk about what's happening on the gridiron because you can always check out our Urban Media Today Black College Football poll where we rank the top 10 teams, and then we give honorable mention to the teams that are doing well. The number one team right now is Grambling State Tigers. Shout out to Coach Broderick Fobbs and his Tigers, who've only lost one game this year. But right behind them, I will give you a little bit, North Carolina A&T, they haven't lost any games. They're 8-0, and they're ranked in the FCS coaches poll. The highest they've been ranked since 1993, where they were ranked fifth, they're ranked sixth right now, and they're on the move. In Division II, there's five HBCUs that are ranked in the top 10 in Super Region 2 of the NCAA regional rankings. Why do I mention that? Because believe it or not, in Division II, they only have 2 weeks left in the football season. So that means they go into the playoffs. Now, historically black colleges and universities have only gotten like one or two teams in the playoffs. This year they have the potential for five, because right now Virginia State, who's undefeated, is ranked. Bowie State, who's 7-1, is ranked. Albany State has lost three games. They're 5-3, while Miles, also from the SIAC, has lost two games. And Virginia Union is 5-2. So as the season winds down, the regular season, those teams have a potential to get into the playoffs in the Super Region 2 division, Division 2. Just in case you didn't know about that, wanted to make sure you knew. And then in the NAIA, the National Athletic Intercollegiate Association, Langston University in Oklahoma, they're ranked 8th in the National Coaches Poll. On our poll, they're ranked 8th as well. They came in 10th last week. They made the introduction into our poll, and then they moved up to 8th because of some upsets. So keep your eye on those teams. I bring that up because I'm a black college football fanatic. And, of course, you know I cover that for Urban Media Today Radio. And I just think that that's something that you should be aware of. So this weekend, today is Saturday. So today there's plenty of action going on. Check our website for the scheduled games and for information on the games. And make sure you remember you heard it right here on Urban Media Today Radio. We're talking sports. Mr. Ray Porter Jr.
Yes, sir. I wanted to give a few another point in reference to the whole Martavis Bryant situation with the Steelers. I give credit to Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin for first. He's one person that's unflappable, especially in his news conferences, and he's not going to allow anything to knock him off his thoughts or his agenda for his team. He was aware of the situation with Brian, as of course everybody was. How could you not be? He said he would handle it, and he did. And with his conversation with Brian, he made the announcement and the decision to suspend Brian for this Sunday's game against the Lions. And hopefully it'll just, you know, teach him a lesson to just build some perspective, to just realize that it's not about him. Best line I heard was Deion Sanders saying that you are part of the accessory, you're not the suit. So he can't make it himself. He can't make this whole situation himself, no matter how many times he doesn't get the ball. Other thing I wanted to point out was the NFL trade deadline is October 31st. He's suspended for the October 30th game. Now, the Steelers can make public news all they want about how they're not going to trade them, but the Steelers don't show their hand anyway. If they're to make a decision like that, they won't tell the press. They'll just do it. And I believe that it's a possibility that with everything going on with them about the approach of bye and with him being suspended on the 30th, that there is a possibility that if a team presented an offer to the Steelers, they might consider trading him. But you never know. Stay tuned.
What you got, Vince? Your final thoughts?
I found something, a recent article, very interesting. Medical marijuana. The NBA may be looking at removing it from its banned list. How will that play a role in how the NBA moves forward? And not just the NBA, but other major sports as well. I think it's well documented the injuries that professional athletes suffer on a daily basis. I remember Jerome Bettis years ago talked, there was an article on how he felt on Monday mornings after a game, not able to walk following a game, had to scoot himself down the stairs. So I find it interesting that former Commissioner David Stern to look at medical marijuana or marijuana being removed from the banned list in the NBA. I'm sure a lot of players would be all for it, but I'm curious to know how many players use it for medicinal purposes as opposed to recreational. So it'll be a story that I'll continue to follow.
And isn't that interesting, though? Because marijuana is not legal in every state.
Right.
So for the NBA to say it's coming off their list, it's like, what?
I mean, how do you govern that? I think it'll be interesting how that all transpires.
There you have it. It's Let's Talk Sports on Urban Media Today. I've had the pleasure of being the host today. My name is Trevin A. Jones, and then Mr. Ray Porter Jr. and Mr. Vince Butts and the big guy, Alan Lincoln. Tune into us next weekend because we got more. Hope you had a lot of fun listening. We had a lot of fun doing this. We'll see you next week.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of games being played? How's it going down? I get up. All right.